up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
I think Hoodie said it best this morning about Twitch, new way to watch and react to the show. Not only listen, but you can watch and react. But the conversation continues like all day and into the commercial breaks and everything. And they had a good discussion in there. A lot of people suggesting Danny Trevathan could be one of those cuts. Akeem Hicks's name has been brought up.
Jimmy Fowler's actually, I saw something he wrote on Twitter about Bears approaching some players for restructures, I believe. He mentioned Cody Whitehair and Eddie Jackson, I believe.
Yeah. So. I think they would want a do-over on Eddie Jackson. Them thinking that Eddie Jackson, A, is going to continue to be a ball hawk, and B, that the defense is still going to be, you know, so great where that safety matters. Again, like, it's a luxury. Cool luxury. We like luxuries. But it's a luxury to have a safety like
well,
that.
Well, I mean, think about it. Since he signed the deal, the pass rush has not been nearly as consistently good. The defense hasn't been as good overall. And now the salary cap is significantly lower than it was and what you were anticipating. Nobody would have had any insight that this was going to happen. And now they find themselves in a precarious situation with a couple of their defensive players from a salary standpoint.
Look, I know that I still believe Eddie Jackson could be a good player, but there is one thing I do know now, and the talk about him 2 years ago was this, that he was Ed Reed. He is no Ed Reed.
No.
Eddie Jackson is not close to Ed Reed. That's what, remember, Ed Reed was even like a voluntary coach, I want to say, because he had a Pagano connection from their days together with the Ravens.
That's lofty praise that I don't know that many people could ever even get close to.
No, Ed Reed's like the best of the best.
Yeah.
So if you want to weigh in, talk to us, 312-332-3776. And as I told Mick, you know, this is the show that you'll always have a voice, the voice of the fan right here. You want to write letters to the front office and tell us about it, or you just want to vocalize what's on your mind here, it's 332-3776. Let's bring in Jesse Rogers, who joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. And Jesse, before we get into nuts and bolts baseball, I read this morning that the St. Louis Cardinals have been approved to have fans at Busch Stadium this year, beginning on opening day. So right away, and they're going to basically have a third of the crowd, 32% capacity, will be allowed in Busch Stadium. That's a pretty big number immediately off the bat. If you were betting today, will the Cubs and Sox have fans in the stands on opening day?
I'm betting yes. I'm betting on it, in part because all these neighboring states and cities and teams are allowing fans. It just Lori Lightfoot and, more importantly, the governor really want Illinois to be the one state. And I mean, I'm just saying this as I play a doctor on radio only. Like, is there that much more danger in Wrigley Field than at Miller Park or in Busch Stadium? Or Kansas City put out a press release today. They're allowing fans. Cincinnati and Cleveland will allow fans. These are all our neighboring states. Or Minnesota's the one team still finagling. So are the Cubs and Sox. So as it stands right now, the Cubs and Sox together put a proposal together, a presentation together, for the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago. They're waiting to hear back. The proposal was for 30% attendance on April 1st. It's a little bit over 12,000 at each stadium, Wrigley Field and guaranteed rate. And they're waiting back. And there's going to be all the usual social distancing rules. I think you'll be able to pre-order food at the concession stand, so you don't have to stand in line. Obviously, mobile paying, you know, no cash and all that stuff. So a lot of things that actually fans would enjoy. You can pre-order and watch the game, then go quickly and pick it up, or maybe it gets delivered. I don't know the details, but they're waiting to hear back. I believe this is in Pritzker's hands. I think Lori Lightfoot wants it to happen. If it doesn't happen, it's about politics. I believe. I don't know this for sure. I don't think it's about health. I think it's about politics. But I believe it will happen because I think it's embarrassing if all these other states and cities can get it done.
Jess, first of all, on behalf of the entire show, happy birthday to you.
Oh, thanks, Tommy. Appreciate it.
Oh, that's right. Happy birthday. Yeah.
Second.
I mean, it's not my birthday unless I'm talking baseball with you guys. Usually at spring training, but unfortunately. That's true. This year, we're not there. I'll be there next week, but all three of us are here now. Right?
Jess, what has the conversation been about, if there have been these conversations yet, about some of the financial inequalities if you have one city like St. Louis that's allowing that many people in and other towns are not? Revenue sharing is not really a part of Major League Baseball the way it is like the NFL. So are there any financial conversations going on amongst the Major League Baseball offices about this?
Yeah, there are, and I don't know what exactly the details are, and I just don't know. I don't know because it's kind of a fluid thing. Every team is allowing different numbers in. I mean, there's only one team that is zero for April 1st right now, and that's Washington, the Nationals, probably because of D.C. politics. Right? Everybody else has plans, so. Tommy, I'm sure it'll be figured out. I just don't know the inner workings of that.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, and do we know how they would decide each club on who gets to go? Because there are going to be more ticket holders than tickets available.
Right.
Do you have any idea on how the front offices on the business side are working through that if they do get approved?
I can tell you what they're thinking. And I can also tell you what basically every other team is doing, if this is your question. And it is certainly season ticket holders get priority, but at some point, I don't know if it's right away, at some point they won't get a complete control over all the tickets. Like, you know, if 30% are allowed in, maybe 20% is season ticket holders and 10% is the general public. But off the bat, it might be all season ticket holders. Again, I don't know the details of the Cubs and Sox yet. This is what other teams are doing. They're allowing season ticket holders, let's say, in April. And then late in April, they're going to open it up to the general public for May games. There's different combinations going on. But there's no doubt across the league, season ticket holders will get priority off the bat. And then hopefully what they hope is in May, you'll have more fans than in April. And you can have more general admission, whatever you want to call it, single ticket admission, non-season ticket holders. So April might be all season ticket holders for all I know. But again, I don't know the details of the Cubs and Sox in particular.
Just in general terms, are there some other collectively bargained issues, I guess would be the best way to describe it, between the owners and the players that still will need to be rectified before opening day?
I don't think so. I mean, for a long time in the offseason, I thought DH and expanded playoffs would end up being in there. This is the first time really that I'm doubtful on it. You know, they have a whole other month, right? I mean, they could do it the night before the season starts, as silly as that sounds, but they could. I just have my doubts. I think there was a story in The Athletic saying the same thing yesterday. I've not heard any momentum towards it. But sometimes you need a deadline, right? We know this, guys, with contracts or negotiate. And the deadline, of course, is April 1st, opening day. So maybe it happens on the eve of the season, but I've heard no momentum. I will tell you, agents, NL general managers, National League guys, they all thought it was coming. But there's this impasse because they do not want to trade that off. The players do not want to give expanded playoffs in return, get the DH. It's just not worth it for them. 15 jobs for hundreds of millions of dollars in postseason money. Basically going to the owners.
Talking Chicago baseball with Jesse Rogers. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. To the field, you just wrote an article about the Cubs, and it's something that I've tried to vocalize as a fan, that to me, Jesse, this is the most confusing season I enter as a fan in well over a decade, because even when Jed and Theo took over, I at least knew their plan. You know what I mean? Like, even when they were bad, their plan was to sell and to start building a foundation. And then when they were in it to win it, they were in it to win it. They were going to try and make moves. Now, like you wrote, and I've been making the comparison, too, to the 97 white flag trade of the White Sox. Like, if Chris Bryant is off to a good start and the Cubs are up in the division by two games on July 20th, what are the Cubs doing?
I'm telling you, Jed does not want that situation. I know this guy, and I just don't think he wants that to happen. He is really trying to thread the needle. In other words, okay, I got to field a pretty good team in April. Fans are coming back. We do have to, you know, hype this thing up, this return. So he has an okay team out there, but it's in a bad division, so it might look more than okay. But we know when you expand it out to October-type teams, they're not near the Padres, the Dodgers, the Braves. We know that. They weren't in the last couple years, and they're certainly not better than they've been. So I don't think he wants that scenario where a couple guys, you know, they're doing okay, two games up, whatever, a game behind, and he sits on his hands. I think he is selling. I think he is selling almost no matter what. I just don't see many scenarios. Jackie Bradley Jr. joins the Brewers. They're pretty good. The Cardinals are really good. I just don't see any. And really, it doesn't matter. We know the division's weak, and even if they win it. I mean, they got bounced by the Marlins last year, guys. So we can't get fooled by the just get in mantra, right? We can't get fooled by that. So I think he's in sell mode almost no matter what. I just don't know how else to say.
Well, make an educated guess on how you believe Chris Bryant will perform between now and that moment.
Ooh, and, you know, Abdallah, mark this down because that is a good question. I want to say he's going to have a big year. I want to say that because it's your free agent year. You've been through the ringer here. I just not positive, Tommy, because there's so much pressure on him. And we've talked about this whole change of scenery needed. I think he'll perform. I think he'll perform. But I don't know if he's going to, you know, have that monster-type 2016 season again. I think he'll perform. It's, you know, if he's healthy, his floor is better than, you know, most of the guys, right? But we know, what is his ceiling right now? What is his ceiling with all this pressure on him, 3 or 4 months to get it done? I don't know, Tommy. I have more faith in maybe Rizzo having that big free agent year at this point. I really do. But I still think he's going to perform. I just don't. It's a wide range is what I'm saying. Yeah. It's a wide performance range numbers-wise with Chris Bryant. But, I, you know, he's a good player when he's healthy. Let's not forget that. He's a good player when he's healthy.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day. The Cubs would have dealt Chris Bryant if they would have gotten an offer that they liked. So with fans coming back in the stands, and if he does produce offensively, like Chris Bryant can, don't you believe at the deadline they'll be able to get something? Because not only will he appeal to teams who need a third baseman, but as we know in Chicago, Chris Bryant's super versatile. If a team needs a corner outfielder, Chris Bryant can fill that in a short-term period. And as long as he's hitting, I think then all of a sudden teams will be willing to take him on for 3 months and give up something big if they feel they have a chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, it would be 2 months if it's July 31st. I mean, October would be a third. I'm just saying it's just remember, it's a very small window you get a guy. Hitters, you don't get as much for as pitchers. And we've had this discussion before. I know you think they'll get more than I do. Relievers get so much more. Aroldis Chapman. Than if you trade a reliever in December, you get so much more for a hitter in December than on July 31st. My point is this: supply and demand. If a third baseman goes down on a team, okay, boy, you've got some leverage. If two teams are in desperate need of a hitter like Bryant from the right side that can do the things he does, that's where you get that better prospect back. But there has to be a market for him. And you're not wrong. I mean, if he has 4 great months, there will be some sort of market for him. And look, they're going to get more at that point than now because he's been down a little bit and been injured. If he has a healthy 4 months and put up numbers, yes, they'll get a prospect. But I just don't know how much because it is just 2 months, two regular season months for a hitter. And any hitter can slump over 30, 40 games. So, you know, teams don't give up A prospects for 2 months of a hitter, in my opinion.
As far as the hope on the Cubs side of things, from what I've read, is the biggest buzz in Cubs camp, and I know you're not there yet, but from what you've been reading and hearing and talking to people about, is it about Adbert Alzolay?
I mean, sort of, yeah. I mean, he's got this nasty pitch that he developed last year in the alternate site that he's taken. And I mean, yes, that's one of them. I mean, I think it's mostly about those guys. And then the three big three free agents, the buzz is about Baez, Bryant, and Rizzo, who's going to stick around, who's going to have a big year and get a big contract. I think it's both those things. The young players, Brennan Davis is this young outfielder they added to the roster, to the spring training roster. So I think it's a dual road here. Who's the next? Who are the next guys, right? That's going to help that are going to help them contend. And what about the big three? What's going to happen with the big three? So I think that's the buzz. And speaking of Bryant, by the way, Ross did say he's going to use him in the outfield. Remember, he has gotten banged up out there, but he will use him. So that will be good for teams watching him at third and in the outfield come July 31st. And here's the other thing about something that Ross said about Bryant and these other guys. It's kind of the opposite of what you normally hear. He wants them to be a little bit more selfish, which is an easy ask during a free agent year, right? Hmm. He wants Baez, Rizzo, and Bryant to be a little bit more selfish. He feels like, and this is weird, I don't know if he's right or wrong, that they were playing more of the team game the last year or two and were getting away from their own identities. It's a little opposite. I don't know if he's searching for answers, but I'm really interested to see if Bryant, Rizzo, and Baez return to form. I think all of Chicago is interested to see that.
All right, Jesse, have a happy birthday. What do you got on the what's on the plans for tonight?
Francesca's anything? North. Last time it was where did I go last time? I can't remember. But Francesca's North.
Next
tonight,
door is where you went. You went to next door last.
Next door bistro, right? Yeah. So Francesca's North tonight, and you know, again, going out for dinner is a big deal these days, right?
Yes.
So that's what we're doing. We're going out for dinner, and Tommy, you know this. It forces my girls to sit and have a conversation with me if we're out to dinner.
Make sure all the phones are left in the car when you guys go in the restaurant.
That's good. Exactly. Good point. On my birthday, leave the phone in the car.
That's the best gift you could get, is some quality time with your family.
And don't burn down the restaurant with all those candles, all right? There's a lot of them.
Great point. Hey, so next week I'll talk to you from Arizona. Let's start talking about what it would take to re-up Rizzo, Baez, and Bryant. You know, Bryant's a long shot because those conversations are starting up for sure between agents and Jed Hoyer.
All right. Good stuff, Jesse.
Thanks, Jeff. Okay, guys. Love you. Take care.
Happy birthday. There's Jesse Rogers. All right. So we got a really fun story for you coming up next. What are baseball's booziest cities? All right. This is right up your alley, Waddle.
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah, what are baseball's booziest cities? That's next.
Even if you're not spending as much time in the car, don't miss a minute of Waddle and Sylvie at Home. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Let me give you a Sox update. They're playing this afternoon. There's no TV in this one either. No radio, no TV today. It's no score. Top of the fifth inning. Good pitching from the White Sox. Lance Lynn. Two innings. He struck out three. Evan Marshall has a scoreless inning, and he struck out two. Cody Hoyer also has a scoreless inning with a strikeout. So no score. Top of the fifth inning. White Sox and Giants. Abdallah, you have a story about, what is this? How is this graded? Baseball's booziest cities.
We drinking. I heard a little bit of this just for full disclosure. So when I start to guess, just know that I've had a little bit of insight already because I heard Carmen and Yurko talking about this at the end of their show. Yeah.
I have not heard about this. So I have.
I like this. This is good. Right up my alley.
So the booziest baseball fans, this is ranked on how many drinks per game they drink. So drinks per game, and then there's a dollar amount attached to it, but it's not ranked by dollar amount. It is just ranked by drinks per game, average drinks per game.
All right, so I have a question. So is this drinks per game per person or drinks per game? Like, does attendance matter?
Per person.
So attendance doesn't matter.
Attendance does not matter.
Okay.
Now, there's the average age of the person in this survey is like, what, 36? Am I right about that, Adam?
Sure.
I'm wondering, Waddle, does cost play a role?
I'm trying to set the stage for, like, if you want to understand how they came to, you know, you ask these questions of people, like they're not asking 75-year-old fans, like a survey of 125 75-year-old fans at the stadium. How many drinks per game do you have?
Well, I wasn't thinking about that. What I was thinking about is, like, for instance, Kansas City, I would think
Beer
is going to be cheaper than a drink in New York or Chicago.
I went in and bought a six-pack at my dad. My dad lives in Tennessee, outside of Knoxville. His golf course, one of the golf courses in the area he lives in. My brother and I went in after nine holes. I said, yeah, can I get six beers? I pulled out two 20s because I thought, like normal, a six-pack was going to be over $20. It was like $10.50.
That's awesome.
It was a glorious day.
Glorious.
So, to your point, different parts of the country, different ballparks, different prices.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. So, I'm going to guess.
Okay.
I am going to say, I'm thinking Wrigley, I'm thinking Fenway, I'm thinking Yankee Stadium, I'm thinking Dodger Stadium. Those are the places I'm going.
I think you're wrong.
Well, you know, so yes, you're right.
Okay. Well, wow, it's none of the ones that I just mentioned?
None of the ones you just mentioned.
Try mentioning some of the opposite of what you just
mentioned. Yeah, think of the exact opposite. Think of the literal opposite
of what you're saying.
The Marlins, the Miami Marlins, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Think about where you may be able to buy, like you said, a bunch of drinks for a lesser price as well. Maybe.
Oh, for less. So you're telling me that it's the cheaper is... Not necessarily. Well, okay. St. Louis, is it because of the home of Budweiser?
So St. Louis comes in towards the bottom at 2.8 drinks per person.
Where's that ranked then?
That's close to the bottom. I mean, the bottom is Philly, Oakland, San Francisco, and LA, the LA Dodgers, and then the St. Louis Cardinals.
Which is odd.
Drinks per person.
Which is odd. Now,
Cleveland.
Cleveland is fourth with 3.8 drinks per person at $35.
What did the Cleveland Indians have in common with another team?
In Ohio, the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah. Come in at number three. Boom! Tied, actually, with the Indians at 3.8. But they spend more money. They spend $5 more at $40.
All right, so the Detroit Tigers, those people in Detroit, they need some drinks.
They're around 10. They're 3.5 drinks per person, around $35.
See, with $35 at a Reds game, you and your entire family of 10 can get drunk.
You're telling me at Wrigley Field that we don't more drinks per person?
So Wrigley
What about guaranteed rate then?
So is 14th. Wrigley is 14th. But think of it this way, Sylvie. There are tons of bars around Wrigley where you can go and drink for cheaper somewhat.
Good point.
Before you go into the game,
You go.
Your Chicago White Sox, ESPN 1000, home of the White Sox, come in at number one!
White Sox!
White Sox!
White Sox!
Go, go, go! White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, go! White Sox!
Hey, girl!
Hey, girl!
Hey, girl!
Hey, girl!
That's good!
4.2 drinks per person for $46.
Well, listen. How many times was Ricky walking to the mound and back? Like 1,000 times. You had plenty of time to go up to the concession stand and get another beer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Coming in number two are the Atlanta Braves.
Wow, that's a shot.
Four drinks per person for $32. The highest money total are the New York Mets.
That's the way I was originally thinking about money.
$53 per person for 3.5 drinks.
Yeah, think about that. Like
$15 a drink.
Yeah, no thank you. Like Adam said, like Wrigley, it makes sense. I'm sure the prices are high, but you can get your drink on in the neighborhood and then go in and have one.
The White Sox also rank number one as the most pre-gamed fans before they go in.
Yeah. How do they judge that?
Black breathalyzers.
Well, they ask you how many did you have in the parking lots before you came in?
Well, it's a good tailgate scene at Guaranteed Rate.
Plus, I think it's Cincinnati. Not only do they sell past the seventh inning, they'll sell to you after the game. You can stay in the building for an hour afterwards, and they just sell you drinks.
Doggy bags?
Yes.
According to a similar study, 49% of White Sox fans also have reported to have, quote, likely missed some or all of the game due to drinking too much.
All right. Remember when we went to the Hawks game and we missed the whole
we missed the whole first period?
The whole first period because we were Swift and Sons, yeah. And then we left at the end of the second, yes. I did at least.
That's so not like you, as you have told the story. Like, you're not a leader.
Well, it was really a game I didn't care about. I don't even think they were eliminated at this time, weren't they? I've heard, they weren't even that good.
Isn't there more to this story?
It was about we left
we
Pap at
the
scene.
Yeah.
So we had there were four of us going. I think it was Abdallah,
I feel like
me,
I remember
and
listening
Meller.
To this.
Yeah. I was not part of this crew.
It was Abdallah, me, and Meller, and as our fourth, Cap was going to go to the game with
us. That's it. And we talked about it on Cap and Company, right?
So, but Cap was coming from TV, and he had a ticket, though. It wasn't like we left him outside. And so he had to sit and watch the whole first period by himself because we got the magician at Swift and Sons, and we were boozing and having dessert.
Yeah.
And we're just like, and we didn't, I don't even think we let Cap know.
Hey, Cap, we'll meet you outside gate zero, 15 minutes before the game.
You didn't, because I remember the next day he was furious with you guys.
Of course he is.
He's furious, but he was also glad-handing and talking to everybody and all the Blackhawks personnel that were there that were coming up and saying hi. He was holding court. Don't act like he was sitting up there alone watching a game.
Right. I think he was sitting in the seat.
He was in the seat. We didn't leave him outside and say, hey, we've got your ticket. Meet us on Madison, and we'll give you the ticket.
Hey,
he got entry. Yeah, he got entry. He was fine. We just didn't we weren't in a hurry to go sit and watch a Hawks game with him. We had a magician. What do you want? Abracadabra.
What was the best trick you saw?
It was the guy does the mind tricks. We've told you about this, right? Where he knows what you're thinking, or like, isn't that the best way to describe it, Abdallah? That he can pull the card that you just write down on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
So have you guys watched In and Of Itself on Hulu? I told you about this like 3 weeks ago.
I still don't have Hulu.
Oh, my
Lord.
It's the only service I don't have.
Oh, I can give you. I got like seven passwords to everything. Just call me.
Can I have your password?
Yeah, Waddle 8787.
Exactly.
You guys got to see this. If you like magicians.
Just don't empty my bank account, okay? Like, I'll give you the password. Just use it for Hulu.
If you like magicians, how have you not seen this?
I know. I do like magicians.
They scare me.
In sixth grade, I joined the Magic Club at Old Orchard Junior High.
That was the Magic Johnson Club. You're a big basketball fan.
No, it was the Magic Club. And then I went and I broke the code. Because then I told all my friends the tricks I learned after the first day, and I got kicked out of the Magic Club.
Only you.
Hey, Waddle's more like Harrison Ford. Well, David Blaine comes out to his house, pulls a card out of an orange. He tells him to get the blank out of his house. You get the blank out of my house.
That's not true.
There was a funny Cap story. Did you hear the Cap story today? The you make the call? I'll tell you it in Waddle's World, and we could do it afterwards. We got Waddle's World coming up.
Here we go again.
Speaking of the Hawks, Eddie Olczyk tells us about the great run the Hawks are going to go on here against really good teams. That's at 4.
Waddle and Sylvie are with you as you return to the office, just like that annoying coworker that always talks about their cat. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Isn't that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Welcome to Waddle's World, brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/finest, member FDIC. So go ahead and tell us what happened that will further ruin your relationship with Cap.
No. This was a good story. He was delivering something to his son's in-laws.
New computer.
Yeah, computer. And maybe you could tell better, Chris, because I didn't hear how he stumbled to this other house. But he, like a house in the neighborhood near the door, he saw a guy like laying on the door and it looked like he was dead.
There was a blockage in the driveway, so he was turning around in a neighbor's driveway.
Okay.
And so when he turned around in the neighbor's driveway, as he was making that maneuver, he looked into the front door of the house and the normal door, the heavy door, was open. But the glass door was closed, and he saw through the glass door and saw a man on the ground flat on his back. And so
All from his car.
Wow, that's good vision.
So he finished his maneuver, and wait for it, then parked the car in the street, got out of the car, sprinted up to the door, ran all the way up to the glass door, and then shouted through the glass, "Sir, are you okay?" And the guy was not happy. He was not dead, and he was not happy that a random bald guy was yelling at him through his glass
Why
window.
Why was he laying down, just chilling?
Because it's his house.
He yelled at Cap, and he said, "Get out of here!
Get out of here!" And then he went back to his car, but at least he made sure the guy was still alive.
He was peeping in the door.
If you believe the story.
Just know this, Sylvie.
Sylvie, you were listening. I was listening. Did that really, like Wallace said, the first thing Wallace said is, like, you're pulling off this maneuver in the driveway. You're peeping through the window. You see a guy on the floor. There's a lot of things going on there.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not. I'm not doubting. I mean, whatever. I'm just saying I know this, that if a similar situation happens around the corner at your house, Sylvie, he ain't stopping.
Oh, he said that on the air.
Yeah, he did?
Yeah, he took it.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah,
he ain't stopping. Sylvie, are you okay?
I believe a caller suggested and asked the question to the guys, would Cap do the same thing for Sylvie?
Okay.
And he joked at first he wouldn't, but then he said he would.
He would.
Oh, yeah, I was listening. Big B1 to Cap and Jay Hood, morning, then, 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000.
And then Cap would stand outside your door and talk to you for about 5 to 7 minutes.
Sir, are you okay in there?
Was he fully prepared to perform CPR?
I don't know. I mean, you can't walk into something.
Do you guys know how to perform CPR? I'm 54 years old. I should go to a class.
No, but I just learned the true fact. I just learned from an Instagram video that I believe
was...
You don't pump
the chest anymore.
No. But did you know that Annie is the name of the doll? And Annie, Are You Okay? Is a reference to the CPR doll.
I did not know that. I just learned this fact.
And I was, like, baffled at it. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Annie, Are You Okay?
From Michael Jackson? Yeah.
Annie, Are You Okay?
Annie, Are You Okay? Is what people training to do CPR say to the doll, and the doll's name is Annie.
Gotcha.
Isn't that a crazy fact?
That is crazy. I've heard that, like, through the CPR grapevine, that the process is a little different than it was back in the day.
I believe so. When we were having kids, when Mason was conceived, we had to take a CPR class at Northwestern.
Right after he was conceived? I mean, like, can you guys actually spend some time and cuddle?
No.
You automatically get registered the moment he comes out.
No, I'm talking about the moment that he, you know.
Yes. Mason, you in there?
Sir, are you okay in there?
No, I think that, like, my kids are so damn old. I think I heard that, Sylvie, that, like, when you're about to be a parent now, you have to be schooled in CPR,
yes,
right?
Yes, you do.
That's part
and
of
choking,
like,
choking and all that stuff. You learn all that.
Okay.
So do you believe Cap's story?
Look, anything I say now, I mean, do you want my truth or do you want me to make sure?
I'm not trying to start something.
I want to be on the record to say I do believe. I believe he's being truthful. That's me.
That he was just turning around in someone's driveway and he was able to see a guy laying on the floor that looked like he was dead. You believe that?
I don't.
I believe that he went to the door and asked the guy if he was okay. Right. Yeah.
But was he doing some stalking before that, perhaps?
What?
I don't know. Maybe he was...
Was this in his neighborhood, by the way?
He stalked his own producer before. How do you see through someone's door that there's a guy on the floor?
Right.
It was his...
From your car.
Son's father-in-law's neighbor.
Okay. So it wasn't his neighborhood.
It was in Libertyville. I think it was in Libertyville.
Oh, Libertyville. Oh, yeah. We're known to have people laying on the floors in front doors. So, yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Sorry.
Totally.
Sir! It's David Kaplan from Cap and Jay Hood.
Sir, are you okay?
First of all, can I ask, I want to save you
so I can have a good story to tell for the next 12 years.
First of all, are you a listener? So do you, so I've already committed to saying I believe the portion of the story that he's at the door and he's asking the guy if he's okay. Where's your level of trust in the truth in this story?
That part I agree with.
Okay.
Inside sources have texted me saying they also believe the story, but they also are not too sure that the story
happened exactly that way.
Well, no, kind of like what Sylvia was saying, that he was looking to be the hero to then have a story to tell.
Well,
you see what I'm saying.
The fact that he was hanging outside of Zetterman's place would tell you that this Zetterman isn't odd.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That maybe he had heard that one of his son's in-law's neighbors were ornery, and maybe he was like checking out the house, and then he noticed he was down on the ground. And then he wanted to make sure he was okay.
Are you okay, sir?
How do you... You're turning around. You're doing a three-point turn in the driveway. And you just happen to notice a man down on the ground inside a house? Come on, Waddle.
I think the even more odd part of this is the guy was totally coherent, just laying on the ground and screamed, get the hell out of here.
No, that part, he was not coherent. Cap says for the first couple of times that he yelled at him, he did not answer. Oh, okay. Right.
All really? Right. I missed that part of the story.
Yeah, that I heard. That part I heard.
So he wasn't looking for help. Maybe he didn't want to be resuscitated.
Could have been meditating. I don't know.
Meditating just behind his front door with the... that's really odd. Anyway, the Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger have come to terms on a new contract.
Right, segue.
Yeah, listen, there's no easy way to get to football. Remember, I believe his number was $41 million, the cap hit, if they had not done this. Source told our guy Shefty that Roethlisberger reduced his pay to $14 million from $19 million in the final year of his contract and spread the cash payments through 2022, lowering the cap hit by over $15 million. So he's going to stick around. Here's an important story. Heart illness is rare for COVID-infected pro athletes, according to a study. Five of 789 professional athletes infected with COVID-19 were later found to have had suffered inflammatory heart disease in the largest study to date on the cardiac impact of the virus in sports.
Because so, isn't that what the Big Ten cited originally?
Yes, Yes. So that's good news. And it's probably a good time to take a break right now. And when we come back, I'll bring you some nonsense. How about that? This hour brought to you by Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity X5.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
All right, how about some UFO and pornography talk, huh?
Love it. Let's go. Not all in one, though, right?
No. Baker Mayfield, almost certain he saw a UFO flying over Texas. Do you see this?
Him and his wife spotted this,
almost,
right?
He says this was a tweet he put out afterwards. Almost 100% M and I just saw a UFO drop straight out of the sky on our way home from dinner. We stopped and looked at each other and asked if either of us saw it. Very bright ball of light going straight down out of the sky towards Lake Travis in central Texas. Anybody else witness this?
Did anybody respond and say, yes, they saw it too? That's what I was wondering this morning when I heard about this tweet. I don't know.
It says here, predictably, plenty of folks on Twitter had fun replying to Mayfield's off-season observation, but I don't know. Like, there are a lot more people. Like, I told you, whatever it was, the bad and the dirty is they just not. Come on, be honest with us. Tell us the stories. Don't
Show
hide this
X-Files.
From us anymore.
You want to see
it? Yeah. Like, I believe. There was a story I told you. It was about the American Airlines flight that was going from Cincinnati to Phoenix. The pilots are on over the, you know, talking to the tower saying, hey, what the hell is that?
Show us. I'm with you. Show us your UFOs, please. Show us your aliens. What do you have? Where are they?
Titusville, Florida. That, I'm not saying that's where they are. That's where this next story originates. School officials in Brevard County are looking into how a pornographic video played during a high school Zoom session.
I'm surprised this doesn't happen more.
Dave Cavallo, the father of a student, says he considers this a type of assault and wants changes from the district to ensure it doesn't happen again.
Lighten up, Francis.
He said her appetite's off, her sleep is off, talking about his daughter. Says his daughter has been learning virtually amid the pandemic, but ever since she took part in a required online course on mental health, for her focus has been off. Her focus has been off. So,
what would happen if that happened to one of your daughters in a Zoom class? What would you do? I mean, would you just say, "All right, just"?
I don't know. Better. I'd probably have my wife ask the people why there's pornography on the teaching device here.
But what are you asking though? Clearly, someone pulled a prank,
right?
Like that's the answer.
Well, I mean,
like,
the story is then is how did it emanate from the school sponsored?
Oh, the kid, a jerk kid. Come on, that's how these things work, right?
They hacked the computer.
You hope.
Yeah, a little hacker kid.
Maybe the teacher from at home hit the wrong button and said, "Teacher may have a couple of files over there in the dirty catalog."
Well, there's always
that he or she didn't mean to hit.
Well, there's always the Zoom call screenshot of a professor that puts up his web browser. And
like
then the, and then the tabs, like you look at the tabs, and there's like six or seven tabs that are like Pornhub.
Yeah.
Those are funny. How do you not laugh at that? It's funny.
Sir, are you okay?
Are you okay? The guy's doing yoga in his living room. I mean,
let's go to Baldwin County, Alabama, where a Gulf Shores woman was arrested on an animal cruelty charge after officials say she took her neighbor's goat and painted it without permission. That's my favorite part of the whole story. At the end, it says, without permission.
Right.
Damn, like, how do you take your neighbor's goats, paint it, but then it's okay because you got permission? Of course you didn't take it and paint it with permission. She was arrested. Erica Farmer, 34, arrested for the crime. So bond set at $6,000. Doesn't say what color she painted it.
No, or like what design? Were there stripes? Was it one color?
That's kind of weird. Don't paint my goat. Nearly 4 in 10 university students are addicted to their smartphones. Here's the, no kidding story of the day.
I think that's low.
Yeah, almost 4 in 10 university students are addicted to their smartphones, and their habits play havoc with their sleep, according to research.
Oh, for sure with me. It's sickening. I would love to decompress. What? To get away, like, I think there
Here, I'm going to instruct you.
But take, put the phone down.
Take your phone, hit the off button, and put it over here.
It's easier said than done.
I know, but like you watch said, people, I'd like to.
With this always happens. I always notice this with my wife, too, because she's addicted to her phone as well. When I pick up my phone, if we'll be sitting, she'll pick up her phone. It's like a mirror. What?
Nothing. Well, I mean, listen,
it's
you've been
where we have these weird.
Yeah, instead of picking up your phone, why don't you look over and say, "Hey, girl," and try your favorite line.
I think I'm going to try that for spring break.
Maybe you should.
I'm going to try and lock my phone in a safe for a day and see if I could do it.
Or use it to use it to your advantage. Like, you pick up your phone, she mirrors you, picks up her phone, send her a pic. Excuse me? And be like, "Hey."
No, just FaceTime her.
This is what I was sending your way.
And then the kids are slowly becoming addicted.
Why don't you just, like, why do you have to? That is the ultimate 2021 move. Laying in bed next to your wife, you send her a pic to try to start a quote-unquote conversation.
I'm just trying to help the dude out.
That's just weird.
Sylvie, are you okay?
Sir, are you okay?
I am not. Somebody has sent help.
Sir.
Okay.
I am the cap man. I am here to help.
Da, 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 da.
I have a plan.
Here's my book.
That's all I got for you.
All right, in 2 minutes, Eddie Olczyk will discuss with us a start of a really tough stretch for the Blackhawks. They've had a few days off. Patrick Kane now has his 400th goal. Tonight, it starts at home against Tampa. We'll talk to Eddie in 2 short minutes.